Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the last MU Marquette University Law School polling Wednesday edition before the election. Dom, how you doing, man?
Awesome, Crudy. Happy Hump Day to you, Evan, on the board, and to you, our fair audience.
Buddy, a glorious day here in the
Indeed,
upper Midwest.
Indeed, man. November 2nd, it's like 68 degrees by me right now. It's amazing.
Oh, it's in the 70s here.
Oh, damn.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice. It's nice. Dominic, and here in the state of Wisconsin, the politics, it's a coin flip.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
We're going to have Charles Franklin. He's always generous to us with his time on Marquette University polling days. And today is the last one before the midterms. And if you're looking at the tea leaves, Dom, A, the margin of error is like 4.8, 4.9. It's big. About 800 polled.
Depends on registered voters, 4.6, and perhaps a little more under for the likely voters.
I stand corrected. Thanks. I love I looked at that.
Yes. 4.8 for the likely, 4.6 for the registered.
My bad. You know, I left it out there so loosey-goosey, but it's still a big number.
That's a big number.
Well, Dom, when the top line races, when the governor's race, my understanding, tied at 50-50, and the senatorial race, 50-48. And it's all within the margin of error, be that 4-8, 4-6, or 4-9. Right?
Yes, it's all within the margin of error.
So we're going to stay
toss up
all night on election night. You know, I haven't even formulated exactly what the coverage is going to look like around here, Dom.
Well, the coverage is the coverage. We'll worry about that. What's the party going to be like, man? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's my question. Are we pulling the midnight shift?
I don't know.
Like you and I, specifically, because everybody else.
Midnight's so late to be responsible to be on the radio. I don't know if that's a great idea.
Well, that's the problem. This election, Dom, according to the latest, the Marquette University Law School poll, this one's going way past midnight. This one's going to keep you up late. This one's coming down to the absentee voting count, probably in Milwaukee County. And here's the saddest part. I was thinking about this earlier today, Dom. If Michaels and actually, let me retell the story. Asking some friends. I've heard this one a couple different times. People, friends I respect politically, and they've said to me, could be two incumbents hold their seats. Meaning both Governor Evers and Ron Johnson hold serve.
The Democrat and the Republican, yeah.
Because they're incumbent. They have the benefit of incumbency. And I mean, what a split ticket anomaly sort of election that would be. Because, of course, that'd be a reflection of the fact that there's just enough for each one, right? So you could have a split ticket outcome. And I've heard that more than once here recently. Also, we, of course, could have a blue outcome, Dom. And if that happens, it's going to be rigged elections, right? There'll be recounts because you know it'll come down to a coin flip. It'll come down to what? 50,000 votes, 40, 30, 5,600 like the Neubauer and Hagedorn race did in the spring Supreme Court.
Come on, man. Senator Johnson has already retained counsel. You know, the same guy who called him to pass along the fraudulent electors.
Oh, Jim Troupas?
That guy? Yeah. He's already getting ready for his Milwaukee recount. Let's not forget Milwaukee and Madison were recounted in the last presidential election. And I believe President Biden actually received a few more votes as the net result of that.
Dominic, the Wisconsin editorial board over at the USA Today, they had an opinion to offer today. Did you see this one? I thought you shared it. Vote for Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes to defend our democracy. Here's why. Should we share this with the audience?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty decent article, and it really shows the differences between these candidates.
So if you're a late decider, let's just say, and you're flipping that coin, trying to decide, do I go with the incumbent? You know, how do I vote? Well, here's the suggestion of the editorial board at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Democracy is on the ballot November 8th, and we believe that means a vote for Democrats. Mandela Barnes for U.S. Senate and Tony Evers for governor. Their Republican opponents, incumbent Senator Ron Johnson and businessman Tim Michaels, continue to cast doubt on the 2020 election, and both have fudged on whether they will accept the outcome of the 2022 vote.
How is that even acceptable? How is that a position? I mean, certainly if we win, yes, we'll totally accept it. If we lose, rigged election.
Dominic, according to the editorial board, a commitment to basic democratic principles is a threshold neither passes. And their willingness to cavalierly ignore longtime norms of democracy is freaking dangerous.
Wow. I mean, that's a brutal opening paragraph.
A U.S. Rep. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, a lifelong Republican who has stood bravely against her party as it bowed to the whims of former President Donald Trump, put it this way in a recent interview with NBC's Chuck Todd. I hate to say the word aloud. No one of either party should be voting for people who are election deniers. Election deniers are telling you they'll only certify an election they agree with. There's not much graver threat to democracy than you can imagine than that. If the Republican Party is to escape Donald Trump's cult of personality, it has to begin in elections like these. Normally, the USA Today Network, Wisconsin editorial board, does not recommend candidates in elections. But because of the stakes in this election and our deep concerns with these candidates, we have decided to do so.
Oh, damn. Curry, I'll start this out. Pardon me. Ron Johnson is Wisconsin's worst senator in decades.
Ever!
Johnson has played fast and loose with the facts for years. He's an anti-science super spreader of conspiracies who has claimed sunspots cause global warming and warned that the vaccines that saved millions of lives could make the COVID-19 pandemic worse. He has touted unproven remedies for the virus and even suggested that gargling with mouthwash could kill it. It took Johnson more than a month to acknowledge the obvious that Joe Biden had defeated Donald Trump for the presidency. And even then, the senator held a sham hearing the next day that allowed Trump's lawyers to air arguments that had been shut down in courtrooms across the country. Johnson later threatened to vote against the certification of electors from swing states when Congress met for the ceremonial counting of Electoral College votes. Though he had a change of heart after the deadly insurrection on the Capitol on January 6, he continued to downplay the violence, claiming the attackers were people that love this country, that truly respect law enforcement, would never do anything to break the law. Johnson's office was also involved in an attempt to pass a document regarding Wisconsin electors to then Vice President Pence just minutes before Congress was to certify the vote. Johnson's explanation for what happened and for what he and his staff knew don't add up.
No, more they recently, do not.
They do not. This is the editorial board, not Dom and Krupp. But I continue with their article. More recently, the senator suggested that government should rewrite the rules for the two government programs seniors rely on most, Medicare and Social Security, making them subject to annual political fights in Congress rather than mandatory payments as promised. And he's claimed before a Republican group that climate change was BS, because I can't say it. All the while, this incompetent senator has compiled an appallingly slim list of accomplishments for 12 years in office. He even took a pass on trying to help Wisconsin workers when a large state contractor was moving jobs out of state, saying, it's not like we don't have enough jobs here in Wisconsin. His opponent, Mandela Barnes, is young at 35, but has served two terms as state representative and one as a lieutenant governor. He comes from solid middle-class roots in Milwaukee, and he knows what it's like to work hard. Barnes is an unapologetic progressive, but no radical. His positions on the major issues facing the country are reasonable, measured, and mainstream. On immigration, Barnes favors comprehensive reform and a path to citizenship, not abolishing ICE, as some Johnson supporters have claimed. In the not-so-distant past, Republicans from deep red states like Florida's Marco Rubio favored just such a plan. Johnson and supporters have made crime a major issue in the campaign, falsely claiming Barnes wants to defund the police. In fact, Barnes hasn't called for defunding the police. Instead, he favors giving police the resources they need to keep the public safe, but also spending money on crime prevention, including for jobs, schools, and jobs creation. Crime is a local issue handled by mayors, city councils, and police departments, not senators. Its emergence in the Senate race this fall is simple fear-mongering on the part of Republicans who are hoping to scare voters that the black man running for Senate is too different and too dangerous to serve. Actual words used in commercials supporting Johnson. One of the ads even intentionally darkened Barnes' skin. The ads are racist and disgraceful. And Johnson also criticized Barnes' position on the state's bail system. Barnes favors eliminating cash bail and moving to a system in which judges could decide, would decide, whether to hold or release defendants before trial based on their danger to society, similar to the system used in federal courts. The state's cash bail system needs reform, and Barnes is correct to raise it as a concern. Cash bail discriminates against poor defendants while not necessarily defending the public from dangerous suspects. Our take on Barnes. He's a quick study who will lean progressive but remain pragmatic. Most importantly, he will focus on helping working-class constituents rather than delivering tax cuts to billionaire donors, as Johnson has done.
Dominic, there's more here. The Tony Evers-Tim Michaels race, or Tim Michaels is a Trump acolyte, as they mentioned here. I'm going to get this one started. It's, you know, I know a break's coming. Tim Michaels is where he is today because of Donald Trump's endorsement in the Republican primary in August, an endorsement that required Michaels to toe the Trumpian line.
And we witnessed that history, Curdy.
Dom, after getting Trump's stamp of approval, Michaels at first declined to support a Trump run for president in 24, but Michaels soon fell in line, saying that, of course, he would support a Trump candidacy, even after the former president's disgraceful incitement of a riot on January 6, 2021, Michaels is cast out on the 2020 election, saying maybe the election was stolen and refusing to rule out supporting a legislative effort to overturn the election results, even though decertifying the election is both illegal and impossible. And Dom, he argued the Wisconsin Elections Commission, created by fellow Republicans, you know, after Scott Walker got caught with his hand in the cookie jar cheating, they had to get rid of the referees. Now he wants to get rid of the new referee, says it should be shut down and all the rules of the commission set by local clerks, preferably Republicans. Come back. It's going to be a late night on election night, but we'll stay up all night. Hopefully get lucky.
Ron Johnson
is the worst human being I have ever met.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for you today at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, other fair guests they don't even think I've mentioned yet. Todd Alba, you remember Dale Schultz, the twice-elected majority leader, Republican, friend of ours, Richland Center area.
Yeah, I remember the Republicans ran him out on the rail, didn't he?
Well, Dale was with me in the studios at WRCO and WRCE very recently, and he used to have a chief of staff, and his chief of staff was Todd Alba, and his fate would have it, before he worked for Dale, he worked for WRCO for like 17 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So anyways, as fate would have it, Civic Media has hired Todd Alba, and we're going to talk with Todd today on the air about 4:30, and we're going to talk about, you know, sort of being a reformed Republican. He's changed. He's renounced the party, Dom. So Todd Alba, a new host, we're going to put him on the air soon, but we're going to meet him next at 4:30. But back to getting to know, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats running for this higher office, the newest polling out would seem to indicate a statistical tie. We're going to have to stay up all night to figure out what the result of the election is. But the editorial board over at the Journal Sentinel, Tom.
Oof.
Kind of damning stuff against Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels because they will not support the outcome of the election that has not even occurred yet. They do not support democracy, Dom, which is kind of a strike against them, according to me and the editorial board. Anyways, back to this. At times, Tim Michaels, the GOP gubernatorial candidate, seems to have only a rudimentary knowledge of the duties and responsibilities of the job he is seeking.
I'm a businessman. Don't worry about it.
Yes. And a carpetbagger, let's not forget, Dom, working for his family's highway and pipeline construction business, Michael has spent years away from Wisconsin at his homes in Connecticut and New York City. Multi-million dollar homes. Really big shacks.
East Coast elitist?
Oh, certainly an elitist. Recently called Governor Evers to stop prison paroles altogether in a move that likely is impossible under state law. The governor appoints the chairperson to the State Parole Commission, but does not make parole decisions for inmates convicted of a crime before December 1st, 1999. After that, the state's truth in sentencing laws eliminated parole. Isn't that great? Truth in sentencing. That's Scott Walker. He shepherded that through as a legislative guy. You wonder why we got twice as many people in the prisons as Minnesota? It's not because Wisconsinites are twice as violent. It's because Scott Walker took money from the private prison industry and stuck us with truth in sentencing laws. Anyways, back to the editorial page. You know, done crapping on the...
I think that's important information people need to be reminded of as it comes up topically.
Dominic, in a recent speech before the Milwaukee Rotary, Michael suggested he would not enforce the state's abortion law that makes the procedure a felony, saying he would not arrest any doctors.
I'm a reasonable guy. I'm not setting up checkpoints at the borders.
But his campaign immediately walked that back, noting the governor wouldn't arrest anyone, but the district attorneys and police should enforce all laws. In fact, Michaels has long embraced a position on abortion that is out of step with most people in Wisconsin. He is opposed to adding exceptions for rape and incest to Wisconsin's ban on the procedure. Recently, he said he'd sign a bill that included those exceptions, but his campaign says his personal views haven't changed. The Republican Assembly leader said there's little likelihood of passing a bill creating exceptions for rape or incest. So it's all window dressing anyways, just to take a little of the sharpness off his extremism, Dom. And then there are the troubling conflicts of interest this wealthy construction magnate will have to navigate should he become governor. Michaels had said he would divest himself from Michaels Corp if he's elected. You know, lots of stacks of papers, Dom. Divestment. I'll sign some stuff. But he hasn't said how he would do that. And experts say it'll be hard. Hard, Mr. Mackey.
That's hard. I know we're going to run out of time here. Let me jump down to the bottom of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial. Their opinions, Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels, are by no means unique in the new Republican Party. A recent Washington Post analysis found that a majority of Republican nominees on the ballot for the House, Senate, and key statewide offices, 291 of them, had denied or questioned the outcome of the last presidential election. Most of them know better, but continue to press the lie to ignite the Trump base, a revealing indicator of character. Senator Johnson was even recorded admitting Trump lost Wisconsin because he underperformed other Republicans on the same ballot in the same election. Quote, he didn't get 51,000 votes that other Republicans got, and that's why he lost, unquote. We all need to do our part to stamp out this dangerous nonsense on November 8th. Wisconsin voters can send a message that they want competent, rational governance, that they value living in a democracy where the citizens remain in charge. We urge voters to give Governor Tony Evers a second term as governor and to fire Ron Johnson after 2 6-year terms and send Mandela Barnes to the Senate. If you can't bring yourself to vote for a Democrat, consider passing over these two races and voting in the remaining races on your ballot. Make no mistake, democracy is on the ballot this year. Please vote for candidates who have shown they believe in it. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board, vote for Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes to defend our democracy.
Dominic, a better argument to vote for Tony Evers or Mandela Barnes than I've heard either of their individual campaigns make to date. I'm looking for the closing. And, you know, I mean, Obama killed it the other day.
Yeah.
That was a closer. Obama knows how to make a closing argument to the people, to the electorate. Early voting is open, Tom. It's glorious. Be a great day to go vote early, right? Well, who are you voting for? The guys who don't believe in democracy? You know, but gas, it's up, and, you know, that's a drag on my pocketbook. So, you know, let's give the fascists another chance. I'd prefer not.
Mussolini kept the trains on time, right?
Cheap gas? Come back, Todd Alba, one of the new hosts here in the Civic Media lineup. We'll see. Maybe you'll like him. Maybe you'll listen each and every day. Come back with us, a reformed Republican. That's the best kind.
How hard can that be? Saying that Nazis are bad.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. One of the more aggressive tweeters I know, a good friend of ours, Scott Ross, has joined the program. Scott, how you been, man?
Hey guys, how are you doing today? I've been doing well. I've been doing well. I hope the same is true of the both of you.
Scott, yeah, we've been
good to see you, Scott.
Missing your unique trash talking here on the radio, and we thought it was time to have you back. Scott, I've been trash talking a couple of the local journalists. I occasionally do that. Daniel Bice, though, of late, some of the reporting he's done, specifically, the Mandela Barnes did what? Interviews for Russia Today. I didn't see the newsworthiness of bringing that to the attention of the what? The people that might notice that Ron Johnson's got some of his own Russian connections. But above and beyond that, even this newest on Tim Michaels and the Naughty Dogs, I mean, other than the fact that Tim Michaels comes off as very entitled, I'm not quite sure what the newsworthiness of the story is.
Well, I mean, it's tough for me because, like, I'm just saying, I've pitched some dogs before, like, literally.
Oh, we all have, Scott. We all have. I pitched stories to Dan Bice.
That's a tough one for me because, again, like, I know that I have tried really dumb things to get into the press, and some have worked and some haven't. So it's tough. I can't, you know, because I do. I mean, I respect, like Dan's work. Like, there's a lot of Dan's work that I respect. I overall, you know, will have issues with, you know, our friends in the corporate media from time to time and things they've focused on. I made no bones about it that I thought that they've run more stories about Mandela's property taxes than they ran about Scott Walker abusing the state plane for $1 million, including using it to fly north to film campaign commercials.
What about the haircut, Scott? What about the haircut?
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. And again, to have an empty state plane flown across the state for him to get picked up for a haircut. So I get it. I mean, I absolutely understand why people would be like, yeah, come on. But I also, like, you know, I'm a little bit more, I am just, again, by virtue of the stuff that I did for a long time and some of the crap that I tried to pitch people, I'm kind of sympathetic. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to go too hard in on that. I'm not saying I'm sympathetic. I'm not going to go too hard in it, but I understand why somebody might say that for sure. Absolutely.
Scott, being the fine media sorts that we are, I've been given the advice, not so distantly in the past, get arrested more. Now that's how Dom and I have made recent headlines. Our attorney said recently, if he were to recommend a way to get arrested, it would include nudity, some sort of naked action. Scott, in all your efforts to, you know, get a little earned media, did you ever get naked, sir?
No, good Lord, no. In fact, like, I, you know, wear two pairs of pants just to be completely sure that I'm never going to appear naked in the media. My attorney, on the other hand, the attorney I had at OWN, always insisted, don't ever get arrested. Like, he, like, specifically told me not to get arrested. And I was happy to take that advice. But I will say, you know, I mean, I get it. You get tasked sometimes with some of the stupid stuff you see out there and you just want to start screaming and you want to sometimes grab some buddy and say, like, what are you thinking with this ridiculousness that we see out there? So I I get it. We have similar styles, but we come at it different ways sometimes.
Scott Ross, our good friend, good to see you again, man. Well, let's talk about the candidates. Enough of the journalists. Tim Michaels, this abortion stance and this reaction. He spoke here in the city of Milwaukee yesterday, and apparently he's not going to be an authoritarianist. He's not going to stop doctors at the border. Hell, he's not going to put doctors in jail. Of course, he doesn't have that power as governor. But what's your sense on how dramatically, seemingly harder to the left Republicans have gone in the last several cycles to what we're dealing with now?
Well, I mean, a couple things, and I think that's a good observation. You know, they've gone off the deep end. Like, the solar system in which the current Republican Party exists is not even close to anywhere where the Republican Party was. And I wasn't a big fan of the Republican Party to begin with. You know, like, I mean, like, it's not like they've, it just shows you how far the debate has gone right. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, as we were talking about, with the corporate media. I mean, the corporate media is owned by Republicans. You know, Republicans own that media that we get our television, that we see and that we read in our hands. You know, there are places where, you know, right wingers don't own the media. Your show, your operation being one shining and important and critically important example that should be supported with everybody's financial support. So support with your financial support. But, you know, the debate has gone so far into this insane pool of not even being remotely cloaked in fact. And what concerns me is that the right not only has the media, but they also have the financial resources. You know, Bradley Foundation puts out $60 million a year to right-wing organizations to just nonstop do communications. And I don't even see the Democrats a lot of times, you know, stuff that we used to do at OWN, for instance. I don't see anybody pushing back a lot of times. And it makes me sick because, you know, old people who vote, and I'm saying our demographic, we still get our news from radio, from TV, and from newspapers. And why are the Democrats not pushing harder to be in these stories? Like, you know, why are you sitting in a room trying to raise money to pay for communications on television, on radio, and newspapers if, like, 300 of the other days of the year you're not trying to get into stories, you know, that people, you know, that people are going to see as well and influencing that? I don't get it. I think some of it's like we are outmanned, but I also think a lot of it comes down to the Democrats sometimes aren't willing to fight as hard as the Republicans are. It's not the holy war for them, you know, and that's disappointing because it is a holy war and our constituents are really, really being hurt by what the Republicans are doing. And I think that it's important that everybody fight as hard as possible. Now, I say this like sitting on the sidelines, you know, I'm like an armchair quarterback now, but like, I also know, you know, I had some skin in the game for a couple decades. And I just think we have to fight hard. I think that our side needs to fight harder and more relentlessly.
What is Scott Ross, our fine guest, what is Tammy Baldwin's special sauce been? How has she been so effective in garnering statewide support in this state? I mean, against Tommy Thompson, a very popular Republican, she beat him. Against Leah Vukmer, Dom's girl, much less popular, but still crushed her on the very same ballot where Tony Evers was eking by with the benefit of some legalized marijuana referendums. What's Tammy do differently than the other politicians, Scott?
Sure. And I'll say this, like, I'm gonna say that it was the plain stuff that put Evers over the top or brought.
Well, one Wisconsin. Condoms, you know. Scott. It was the Fox condoms.
I'm just gonna say this to your listeners out there. There is a picture on Facebook which exists of the three of us at the Democratic convention that year, each of us holding up one of the Fox condoms, which had Scott Walker's picture on it, said, "You're being screwed, use protection." But OWN, we bought 500 of those and passed them out. But it was a picture of the three of us, and the caption I put on the picture was, "Here's your greeting line to hell." I think with Senator Baldwin is that she has made people believe through her actions that she's on their side. You know, that when it comes to, like, you know, like somebody like Leah Vukmir or Tommy Thompson, even, who was a champion forever, she came across as more on your side than they did, you know? And like she, you know, she has been masterful at breaking barriers in terms of, you know, electorally that like have not been broken in the state of Wisconsin. First as the first woman to be elected to Congress from as a member from Wisconsin, then as the first woman elected senator, both, you know, and both the, she's the first LGBT, you know, candidate in both of those, you know, for both Congress and for Senate. So like, you know, the House of Representatives. So, I mean, she has figured out how to make those communications. And I also think she focuses on economics. And that's the thing that I always urge Democrats, like, you have to make everything economics because I use my wallet every day. And people go into the ballot box and they don't vote for altruism. They vote selfishly and they want to know how you're going to make their economics better, I think.
Scott Ross, what about debates? We've seen all the debates, apparently. We've seen the two senatorial debates between Mandela and Ron Johnson. And that second one was a doozy. We've also seen sort of a lackluster debate, to my opinion, between Tim Michaels and Tony Evers. Starting with the gubernatorial side, Scott, I'm not going to give Evers any points for style, but what Michaels was saying was just very extreme in many of his advocacies. He seems like a stuffed suit to me. What's your opinion, and do debates matter one iota to the electorate?
Yeah, you lazy bastard.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they matter. I mean, I went after Doug LaFollette hard back in 2006 because Duck and Doug wouldn't debate me. I see it out with Brad Paff in the third CD, Derek Van Orten, right, the terrorist insurrectionist, big tough guy, the big baby seal. He won't debate Brad. And I think when it came to the gubernatorial debate, it was so predictable what Michaels was going to say. If you listen to him, he didn't say anything new. There was not a single thing that he hasn't said, except for the part about the there was one question on whether or not he'd certify the election, the 2024 elections, if he was the governor. That was it. Other than that, he has said the exact same thing. He is a total stuff shirt. The guy didn't want to be governor. He just bought a $17 million mansion in Connecticut in 2022. This was just how he got involved in this race is just ludicrous, and I think it comes across.
Scott Ross, our fine guest, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. I can't believe we're both momentarily speechless.
I guess, sorry, Curry, I thought you were going to go, but I'll pick it up. As I, you know, mentioned, the lazy comments, though, I mean, Scott Ross, I mean, I cannot imagine, you know, years ago in elections past that a candidate would get up and call the Wisconsin citizens lazy.
That was tell them
to get back to work and offer a problem that is not a problem because these checks are not going out. They've been cashed. They've served their purpose. But, you know, rich millionaire calling the citizens of Wisconsin lazy, you know, do you think there's going to be any blowback on that?
Well, I haven't seen it on TV. You know, like we're defined by paid, you know, paid, whether it's TV, radio. I haven't seen it in paid media. And I asked a friend of mine who I worked with for years and years and years, one of the smartest motor scooters who I know in the business. And he said, quote unquote to me, Tommy Thompson won four times by calling people in Wisconsin lazy, you know, which I don't think he was explicit in that, but I get the point. Right. I mean, he was always doing the, you know, the racist welfare, nonsense. Sorry, bull. And, So I think it should matter, but it hasn't appeared. I mean, it exists on the internet, right? We all see it. We've all been yelling about it, but I haven't seen it in paid.
What about saying the FBI set you up? Is that a great position to take during a public debate?
Yeah.
And Scott Ross, we sure do hope you got a little more time for us on the other side of the short break coming up, but
absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. I mean, Ron Johnson's insane. It's
insane, it's just, or insane like a Fox News viewer. Do you believe that he believes what he says?
I don't. I think that in this instance, I think that he is just, I mean, I think Ron Johnson concocts some things in his head that he actually thinks are true. But I think he also tests stuff out to see if it'll stick. And he seems to so far, I mean, he's playing to the Fox News viewer. Like that's what he has done. He is thinking that this is his election is about the base and disqualifying Mandela Barnes with you know, with independent voters. And they have done a decent job with their racist ads of bringing his numbers down.
I can't believe that nearly the entirety of the engagement level, and I would certainly agree that Mandela's been diminished amongst independents. But I can't believe what is motivating Republicans or conservatives or MAGAs or call them what you will is the false premise that the last election was stolen, that this election's probably going to be stolen as well. So let's all go vote. I mean, it just seems oxymoronic to me, but, you know, what do I know? I just do radio for a living. Our good friend, he's an aggressive tweeter. He's a good friend of ours. He's Scott Ross, formerly of One Wisconsin. Now, I don't have a more formal title other than good buddy. Come back.
Oh, what's a nice day to start
yes,
again.
Yes, yes, set me up.
Yes, you're very smart. Shut up.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire from the Marquette University Law School poll, joins us at the top of the hour.
Dominic, I want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one of the new civic media hosts. Quite a stable we're assembling here. He is Todd Alba. He will play out in Richland Center, Amory, and other ports of call. We'll keep you informed, but he'll be the 8 to 11 host starting after the election time frame. Stu Mann kind of filling the slot for us in the mornings right now. Pat Kreitlow, if you haven't noticed, the Up North News radio show that's playing out 6 to 8 a.m. these days. And when our good friend Matt, you know, Matt Flynn Direct Matt, when he gets back from his 75th birthday sabbatical. I mean, he doesn't want to get up super early anymore.
Oh, man, I don't blame him. Happy 75th, man. You deserve to sleep in a little bit if you can.
Matt will lead into the greatest radio show ever in a few selected markets like Madison and Milwaukee. Matt Flynn Direct right here before us, Dom. We'll find a place for him right where he belongs. 3 to 4 in the afternoon here in the Madison and Milwaukee market. So we'll welcome him soon when he gets back. Anyways, Tom, new market polling. We'll get there soon. We got some of the congressional candidates joining us both this week and next. I don't know if you've heard, big election coming up on Tuesday.
Can't wait.
In deference thereof, we've got Brad Paff. He is a state senator currently from the state of Wisconsin. He's running for the 3rd congressional district. That includes Richland Center. Brad will join us tomorrow on the big show. Brad's been a multiple-time guest. He's running against an insurrectionist named Derek Van Orden,
who's been hiding behind his keyboard, refusing to debate and just trying to make it to the end.
But he does have the benefit of grandiose campaign contributions.
He certainly
does. And third-party spending. I mean, they have vastly outspent Paff in this race. So Paff is out there meeting people, campaigning, trying to put together a platform, you know, a successful congressional platform. And Derek Van Orden's platform is, I don't believe the last election, and I'm going to use my campaign cash to go out and hoot and holler about it. And I do have a history of coming to these sort of events, not necessarily the January 6th, although we don't know for sure-sies, but he did get on an airplane with a loaded pistol, one in the chamber.
I think he's and of course, harassing the local 17-year-old library volunteer when there's an LGBTQ book collection. Yeah, I mean, this guy is your typical MAGA. So if you're MAGA, you know, Van Orden's your guy. If you're like most normal people, it's Brad.
You know, I talked to my friend Henry, who is a hell of a salesperson in that part of the state. He's down in Richland Center. He is a big moving guy behind the Coats for Kids effort. And again, if you can be a part, reach out to the Kiwanis Club of Richland County. There's some kids in need this winter that could use a warm coat. But my friend Henry said, you know, he's really kind of been surprised as he goes around, he meets people and he says, you know, I'm a sales guy. I don't lead with my politics. You know, I lead with how can I help you? What can I do for you? How can we help you sell your goods or services? So I get that. I was a salesman for many years, and you know, if you ask me, I tell you my politics, but I didn't lead with them. But Henry informs me he has been, you know, sort of surprised that he thinks it's a coin flip in the very swingy part of the state in the 3rd Congressional District down in Richland County. At the different accounts he goes, he's like, it's a coin flip, Mike. It's half and half. Now, I talked to another friend of mine. She's out going out with a nonprofit traveling to the college campuses. And she says, you know, there is tons of female enthusiasm on campus. You know, now I got little birdies. I call them up and I say, how you doing? What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
All right, well, what are you
What's
hearing?
Your experience on the ground right now? Now, that person is very encouraged as well, but was another one that reinforced the fact that the margins are so close here in the state of Wisconsin that we could see a split decision, that we could see both incumbents hold on to their seat, not a red wave or a blue wave, but basically we'll settle for the ones we already know, the known evils, the incumbents. In this case, that'd be Governor Tony Evers, and that would be U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, which would be nearly unpalatable to many of us, but would not change the Senate math per se. But if we lose both of those races, we, the blue team in this case, it's going to be a dramatic change in the political environment here in the state of Wisconsin. It is going to change people's lives, I would say primarily for the worse, unless you're very, very rich, and then you're probably getting a tax cut, because that's every Republican's plan. Broke my leg. Give him a tax cut. You know what
Asteroid
I mean?
Asteroid coming to hit the earth.
Give him a tax cut.
Give him a tax cut.
Barack Obama. You know, we got some Obama sound. New Obama. I haven't even heard this yet. While there's time, let's squeeze a little of the Barack Obama in. He killed it the other day in Milwaukee. Play it for the people. Cut 10. Obama in New York.
Send Catherine Cortez Masto back to the United States Senate.
That's in Nevada. She's on the ballot. Keep going. More Obama, fight for democracy.
The only way to save democracy is if we together fight for it.
How about Joe Biden? What do you think of that guy? Cut 12.
He's fighting for you every day. He's got your back. He's doing everything he can to put more money in your pockets and to make your streets safer and to bring more good-paying jobs here to Nevada.
What about Republicans, Barack? What are they doing for the people of Nevada? Cut 13.
They want to gut Social Security and Medicare and then give their wealthy friends and big corporations more tax cuts.
He's specifically talking about you, Ron Johnson. One more from former President Obama in Nevada today. Play cut 14 for the people, Ebone.
If you send her back to Washington, she'll fight to make sure women here in Nevada always have access to the care that they need. That's what's at stake in this election.
That is the closer. That is the closer. Dom, I have just been waiting for the other shoe to drop, though. Where is Trump to support his candidates here in the state of Wisconsin? I want Donald Trump to rally for Tim Michaels and to rally for Ron Johnson and to bring them together and embrace them on the stage and show support, because Donald Trump's, he's out there. He's soon to want to, you know, pivot and run for president. If nothing else, Tom, just to flee perhaps investigation or prosecution. But if he got juice coming out of the midterms, and in his perception, he's the endorsing kingmaker, right? His endorsement certainly pushed Tim Michaels in the primary in the state of Wisconsin.
In the Republican primary, sure.
But if you see the new polling, we're about to have pollster Charles Franklin. We'll go inside the numbers with him. But we got a coin flip election on both the Senate side and the gubernatorial side. If anything, it's slightly favoring the Republican candidates as we sit today. Last poll out of Marquette.
But favoring them less than the last time they were polled.
You know what they need? They need Donald Trump to push them over the edge. Run, Donald, run.
He's
straight
not coming
to Mosity or Green
not
Bay.
Not enough time, man. Not enough time.
Maybe Waukesha. He's coming. He's
Don't
coming.
Come. He's not coming.
He's coming. More Devil's Advocates. Come back. Hour two is next with Charles Franklin.
So, Peter, what's happening?
It's a close call.